A story out of Lakeland, Florida is getting a lot of national attention this last week. A 16-year-old was lured into a friend's house and beaten unconscious by six of her fellow students, reportedly for trash-talking on MySpace. The attackers, who range in age from 14 to 17, made a video with the apparent intent to post it on YouTube. Of course, it has since been posted on YouTube. We have a brief clip of the attack, and I'll warn you, it's disturbing to listen to.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah.
Yes, Mom.
No. You're not leaving.
Leave me. Why don't we go home? Finally.
Yes, go.
Go.
Go
home.
Don't hit the shelf.
Do something.
I don't want to do anything.
Why?
The victim was hospitalized and is recovering from a concussion. She has damage to her hearing and vision on her left side. If you have questions about this incident or if you've been involved in a similar incident on either side, our phone number is 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Rosalind Wiseman is the author of the book Queen Bees and Wannabes, Helping Your Daughter Survive Cliques, Gossip Boyfriends. She's the founder of a violence prevention group called the Empower Program and joins us today here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And this story just seems to be so far beyond the pale.
I guess so. I mean, I'm hoping that this story might be the story. We hear them periodically, that where people around the country decide enough is enough, and not to blame people, but to look at themselves and to look at their kids and look at the text messaging on their kids' cell phones, and look at the instant messaging and the way in which kids are talking to each other, not everybody else's kid, but your kid. It's so hard for me because I do this for a living and I don't ever get over the shock of the brutality and the lack of civility that kids can have, and kids are good kids. And I just never get over the shock of it. And I also never get over the shock of parents saying, it just can't be my kid. Or if it's my kid, then somebody else made them do it or they had good reason to do it. And it just leaves me at a loss for words, which is hard,
Yeah. There's a moment. It's hard to hear in that tape, but there's a moment. I think it's the girl operating the camera, and she's afraid that the shelf in her parents' apartment or home is going to be damaged during the attack. Not worried about the girl being attacked. She's worried about the shelf.
Yeah, and also listen to the target. I mean, she's saying, listen to the victim. She's saying, I don't want to hit you. I don't want to do it. She's being egged on by the other girls, and her response is, I don't want to do it. I just can't, for the people who are listening, for them to understand that kids are walking down the hallways of schools every day from like fifth grade through 12th grade. So many of our children in this country are dealing with this. It is amazing to me that our children are doing as well in school as they are when this level of, call it lack of civility, is happening all the time.
And for those of us who managed to escape high school, it does seem improbable that all of this damage can be visited upon somebody for talking trash on the internet.
Right, exactly. Because there's this feeling of, well, if you talk badly about me, then you're disrespecting me. And if you disrespect me, then I get to do whatever is necessary to put you in your place. And I really do think, I'm not an advocate of saying like, oh, it's videos or it's music or it's the media. It's like one problem. It's one cause. But certainly I will say that in what I have noticed is that because of reality shows showing a value of let's push somebody as far as we can to see when they will break, and to show people in reality shows, what they're doing is they're putting people in places where they are fighting with each other, and they are showing people their lowest common base way. And so what that is doing is it's normalizing that kind of disgusting way of interacting with each other. And then kids think that that's normal and they think it's funny. And so and it also has become, because of reality shows, it really has become this feeling of, I will do anything to entertain myself. And it's not like because of reality shows, we actually could do something about this. But because adults have this feeling oftentimes of, well, I don't even know how to program my VCR, regardless of the fact that nobody has VCRs anymore in their house. I don't know about this cell phone stuff. It's so crazy. Kids are so intent, you know, they're so good with this technology today, that we take a hands-off approach, or we say, oh, well, you know, kids will be kids. Or we say, well, we just need to let the kids work it out. What we don't realize is that we forget then that we have to guide our kids through this. Doesn't mean we have to micromanage them, but we do actually have to be present in our children's lives, telling them what our values are and what the consequences are for unethical behavior.
Is it, you do this for a living, again, is it common for bullying like this to happen in packs?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And the internet makes it absolutely, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I mean, it's just, yes, absolutely. Answer to your question is yes. Impacts with the internet, it swirls it to a frenzy. And then you have an impulsive kid, or you have kids who are egging each other on. And unfortunately, you have the things that we see on television.
And this was a group of cheerleaders. Is there anything specific about cheerleader culture that might help explain this contributes
sure.
to it?
Sure. I think what it is that anytime you have a group of kids who are in a high social hierarchy in the school, that they feel that they can be entitled to treat other kids certain ways. So it could be cheerleaders, but there are some schools where cheerleaders don't feel this way. There are some schools that are. I think
this is the queen bees you write about
in
your book.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, boys and girls, I mean, it's really clear that kids who feel that they have high social power in a school and can do with that power what they want to other kids, because the adults aren't going to catch them or they're not going to consequence them in meaningful ways, that they will push and push and push, and they really feel that they're invincible against punishment. Not invincible against other things, but against punishment.
Against punishment. And I think nobody would, I guess, be surprised if cutting remarks, very hurting remarks were made. Is it common for it to rise to the level of physical aggression?
You know, it happens. It happens more. It's happening more. But I think the thing is that it doesn't discount how incredibly abusive and horrible verbal humiliation can be. So that, and I think that's an important part, because oftentimes what kids think is, if I'm not being like beaten up every day in school, then I can't complain about it. And complaining about treatment is such a negative or a taboo on speaking out, that one of the things I do a lot with kids is say, this is the difference between reporting and tattling. And tattling is just to make the problem get the person in trouble. Reporting is to actually fix the problem.
And it should be pointed out that, you know, they wanted to increase the humiliation of this girl by posting this video on YouTube, where
Absolutely.
Everybody can see.
Right. And also then there's this thing about, well, I want to be a celebrity for 30 seconds.
Well, they got that part.
They got that part.
Let's get some callers on the line. Our guest is Rosalind Wiseman, author of Queen Bees and Wannabes, Helping Your Daughter Survive Cliques, Gossip, Boyfriends. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Let's begin with Sean. Sean calling us from St. Louis.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just wanted to go ahead and call in. I actually work with juveniles with the state of Missouri, and I wanted to go ahead and say that, unfortunately, we're seeing a lot more, especially juvenile girls, who are acting out more aggressively.
So this video, to you, is not extreme?
No, absolutely it's extreme, and there has to be some reasons why this is happening, but I think we are going to see more videos like this as we enter the digital age and juveniles act out aggressively, unfortunately.
And what do you, if you work with juveniles, to what do you attribute it?
There's a whole series of factors that can influence it, actually. But, you know, juveniles, unfortunately, have a history of fighting and acting out. Especially girls tend to act out more aggressively when words are spoken or posted or things like of that nature. But I just think that it's something that we're going to see more and more of in the digital age.
I'm hoping you don't agree with him, but suspect you may.
I absolutely do agree. But I really think that it's really preventable. I mean, I completely agree with the caller. Because what you've got is, you know, a whole people, you know, it's like a pie, right? You've got the people where they're influenced by the media. They're influenced by their families. They're influenced by their school. And if they have, for example, one psychologist at the school who actually knows how to interact with these kids and be able to know how to deal with them, if you've got one principal who says, you know what, I'm going to be proactive about this and I'm going to work with the parents on this, if you have one parent who says you are not going to behave this way in any fashion, and if you do, it's going to be really a problem for you, that if you have any one of those people working with the kid, I think the caller would agree with me that you get one adult who actually can reach out. What I say to kids all the time is, look, yes, some adults are clueless. They are. Some adults are. But not all adults are clueless. So go find that one adult that you think actually gets it, and then make sure you can go to them when you have a problem, because it just takes one adult to actually pretty much fix this problem.
Sean, does that make sense to you?
Any intervention point can make the difference. It's just actually getting that intervention point as early as possible.
Sean, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to Rock, and Rock's with us from Payson, Arizona.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I had the opportunity to teach on the secondary level for about 30 years. And I quit 11 years ago because I was afraid I was going to kill one of them.
I'm sorry, I'm lying. Okay.
But one of the things that I noticed is it seems like the higher the socioeconomic area, the more likely something like this would occur.
I actually 100% agree with you. And which, you know why? I mean, the reason I think is because parents in that socioeconomic demographic can't think possibly that their kids could ever do this.
Well, they're exactly right. When kids were caught with drugs and that and they were holding, the parents would never think it was their kid. But I actually had a student come up to me one time. After class, I held the student in because she was misbehaving, and she basically said this to me. She said, "Why should I listen to you? My father makes five times what you make."
Well, just so you know, I know you're not in this classroom anymore, but a lot of what I do, the book I wrote after Queen Bees and Wannabes was about parents, and I really spend a tremendous amount of time with parents talking to them about how they, as a part of a rule or a criteria for being a successful parent, is that would never come out of your child's mouth. And if it does, then you should be absolutely ashamed.
Oh, yes. And what you find out very quickly when you start teaching, boys and girls, they're like a pack of wolves, especially in high school. Once they get you on the run, once they smell fear, you had it.
Ah, boy, you'd like to think high school had changed since you were last there. Rock, thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate
it. You're very welcome.
We're talking with Rosalind Wiseman. One of her books is Queen Bees and Wannabes, Helping Your Daughter Survive Cliques, Gossip, and Boyfriends. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email from Stacy in Houston, Texas. In today's society of parents being very restricted in the ability to discipline their children, what would you consider meaningful discipline if they're caught bullying?
Well, here's the deal. I think that you do three things. One is you say that time old thing that your grandparents or your parents did. What you say is, you know, that I'm so disappointed in you thing. Second, which of course means that you have to role model good behavior, because if you say disappointment, then it actually has to mean something. But then the second thing is you take away the thing, of course, that is going to matter the most to them. And of course, for girls like this, or for pretty much any teenager, taking away their lines of communication with their computer and their cell phone are absolutely key. And just let me say before I forget, please, if parents are listening to this, get the phones out of the kids' bedrooms. Don't let the cell phones go to the kids' bedroom, because then there is never an escape from this world. Because you're going to bed at 9. These kids are getting these kinds of text messages in this kind of world all night. So you take away the lines of communication. And then the third, or the thing that the punishment, the privilege that they value the most. And the third is you give them a way to make them proud, that make you proud. Let's see, how do I say this? Make them proud of you? Make them proud of you. So it's a way out. So you say, I'm really disappointed in the thing that you did. You take away a consequence that hurts, right? That actually has meat to it. You don't cave. And then the third part is you say, and this is the way that you're going to be proud, and that I'm going to be proud of you. And you give them a way out to do it, which is concrete.
Let's get another caller in. Kevin. Kevin with us from Elizabeth is that in Indiana?
Yes, that's correct.
Go ahead, please.
Hey, I just wanted to say, love your old show, but appreciate you doing this on this subject. But parents need to quit being friends to their children first and need to be the adult first. I mean, I think that's one of the most important things. Parents nowadays seem to be, they're worried more that the kids are going to like them. I love my parents, but I had to obey the rules, and that was the main thing. And I think that's really an important thing that's slipping away in society nowadays.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I completely agree. I mean, I think the thing, to be more specific, just to take it a little step further, is that what parents do first and foremost, and maybe it's because they have that friend thing going on, is that they absolutely seem to justify, they will figure out a way to justify or excuse their children's behavior. And that specifically is the thing that stops us from being able to address this problem or problems like it.
Thanks, Kevin. Let's go now to Deborah. Deborah with us from upstate New York.
Yes, hello there.
Go ahead, please.
Hi, my daughter was a victim of verbal abuse during the high school years, and repeatedly I had gone to administration and counselors, guidance counselors, met with teachers and the administration several times, and I really didn't feel that I had a lot of support from them. I actually had to remove my daughter from the school, and she ended up getting her GED, and in turn, you know, she didn't graduate with her class, but that was fine with her because she was very unhappy in that high school.
And must have missed her prom, too, though maybe the prom may have seemed like a nightmare to her.
Oh, absolutely. It was for her. She started showing signs early in during high school of not wanting to go to school that I didn't even notice at first. You know, I thought, well, she truly was sick. And when the days just got, you know, piled up, I realized that there must be going on, you know, things going on at school. They never even communicated with me that there was any type of abuse going on.
Well, they may have none. How long ago was this, Deborah?
This was only a couple of years because she's now in her second year of college.
Well, can I tell you, I've seen we have a long way to go. I mean, I got emails from teachers that I've trained all over the country after they saw the video this morning. But I will say this. There are people like me and me who are really going around the country. And this is what I say to principals. I say to them, you can live an ideal reality where the internet does not impact the culture of your school. And you can pretend that that's not a problem until somebody comes to your school and wants, like a student, and wants to set a fire, blow something up, or bring a gun to school and shoot somebody up. So you can pretend that the internet and all of this bullying stuff doesn't impact your school, or you aren't responsible once past the school walls. But you do live in concrete reality. And so I've been working with principals a lot on how to do this. And I have seen in the last, I would say, 3 years, I have seen a lot of principals really turn around and say, I got to get a handle on this. So it's really, I mean, I'm about as busy as I can be trying to work with schools. So I think it is, we're turning the boat around a tiny, tiny bit.
Deborah, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And Rosalind Weissman, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Rosalind Weissman, founder of Empower Program, a national violence prevention program. And we also mentioned her book. She joined us here in Studio 3A. Tomorrow, Marcus Miller will be with us in Studio 4A with his band. Join us for a talk with him and a performance. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.